Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Welcome to Without a Country.
I like that you're looking directly into my eyes for this.
Yeah, I'm Shane Smith.
Why, you just wanted to say it faster so you could
say your name first?
I'm Corinne Fisher. Hello. Welcome, wackos. Welcome back, Shane.
Yep, I'm here. I'm back.
It was a hot abortion episode last week. Thanks to everyone who called in.
Hot like good, not hot like sexy, I hope.
It was all those things.
Yeah?
Yeah, abortion. It's sexy if you get something that
you want. Did you have an abortion?
Did I know? I clarified that at the top of the thing, though. I wanted to be transparent about it.
I meant during the episode, yes. But yeah, also not.
During the episode, we actually had an abortionist come in and perform an abortion on me.
Abortionist.
And then she said, looks like it's all empty in there.
I love that word is so silly. The idea of an abortionist sounds like a magician, like a type of magician. I guess they make a fetus disappear.
Yes.
Well, they put a little cape above you're sitting there and they put a cape above your vagina and they go, oh, and the crowd goes ooh, and then they move it open and then you can see, do you see? And then he puts it back and then he whoosh, 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 and he shakes it and then he pulls it away and then he goes, no more baby, and everyone claps. It's crazy.
And then he takes his top hat and he goes and he pulls out a fetus and he goes, here it is, we got it.
Oh my god. Or there's two women and he transfers the fetus from one to the other back and forth.
I'm gonna saw this baby in half.
He saws the woman through.
They would love that. I love how like no one minded when you were sawing a woman in half, but if it was a baby, then everyone would be like, I'm not coming to this magic show ever again.
Yeah, people hate when you saw a baby in half, unless it's the Bible.
Yeah, then they love it.
Yeah, they do that.
One of the top favorite stories.
Was it David or Solomon who did that?
Don't remember.
I can't remember. I think it was David. Solomon was the wisest guy. Maybe it was Solomon.
Well, and they didn't end up sawing the baby. They were just doing it as a test to see who the real mother was, because the real mother wouldn't want the baby sawed.
Yeah, yeah. And then the fake mother wanted the baby to saw.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. If I can't have a baby, you can't have a baby either. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the point of that story wasn't that that whoever actually was the biological mother should have the baby. The point of the story was that the person who didn't want a baby cut in half was the mother, despite whatever happened before.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's the nurturing person who should be in charge
I think that's
the baby.
What the parable was supposed to be, but the Bible is just kind of like, hey, that was the real mother, and they're saying it literally, but I think it was just like the real mother is the mother who loves a baby so much that they would keep it without wanting spitefulness. They would want it to be alive.
Maybe every week on the show you could reinterpret a Bible story for us.
I'm going to talk about the Bible a bunch later.
Can't wait.
We can just start now. Fuck it.
Well, let's just quickly do enemy of the state.
Oh, yeah. My enemy of the state is...
of the state.
My enemy of the state is conservative women.
Yes, and my enemy of... You changed your enemy of the state.
I did. Just so everyone knows, we recorded...
A little bit. And it was
like,
lost.
For like 25 minutes, I think.
It's fine.
You know what? It was good. At one point, Corinne took her top off. It was crazy. And then and then she was like, Shane, I love you. And I was like, not right now, Corinne. And then she had a gun. She had a gun, which is illegal in New York, but she had it. And then she was like... tell me you love me. And I was like, you don't even need a gun. I do love you. And then she shot it in the air. And then Alex started crying. It was weird.
Yeah. And then my enemy of the state this week. Last week it was Justice Samuel Alito. Fuck him. This week I'm getting more specific, doing another specific Supreme Court member. This week it's Clarence Thomas, because there's been a lot of news stories this week with the headline like, Clarence Thomas said the Supreme Court can't be bullied. And I think a lot of young people either don't know, or maybe some people forgot. Clarence Thomas is a villain and has been being a villain. This is the man who famously sexually harassed at their place of work, Anita Hill. Huge story.
If you're going to famously do something, you don't want it to be sexual harassment.
Right.
I'll tell you that right now. You usually want it to be like a magic trick.
Right.
Or I famously ran really far.
Oh,
not I famous. I sexually harassed a woman so hard that I'm famous for it.
Yeah. So Anita Hill, she herself is a lawyer. And in 1991, the reason she became famous is because she accused at the time U.S. Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas, who was her supervisor at the United States Department of Education, and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, of sexual harassment. So don't sleep on that. Clarence Thomas been thinking he has ownership over women's bodies for a long ass time, and I hereby challenge him to a street fight.
Yeah. Punches old bones into dust. He's 70 plus. I think you open with a headbutt. He'll never expect that.
Ooh.
Now the bridge of his nose is fucked up. He kind of can't see. Now you go for the throat. He feels your hand on his throat. His hands come up to stop you from choking him, but that's a fake. Your left hand goes down to his penis. You punch it as hard as you can. His testicles descend up into him, and then he dies.
What do you think I was
doing? In a book. This is a fake.
What do you think I was doing while you were telling that story?
I don't know.
From the book. I was Googling Clarence Thomas height, because you're like... starting with a headbutt to his nose, and I'm like, Shane, I'm 5'3½", but he looks taller on TV because this bitch is only 5'9",
hell
so
yeah.
I'll wear my sick platform Crocs to
That's
the fight,
right. That's
and
right.
then he's going down.
Also,
5'9", you're not even dateable to most women on dating apps.
One of the scariest guys that I ever knew in my life was like 5'5", and he got into a fight with this really big guy once, and the guy was like walking towards him, and he was walking towards him. And then he just fucking headbutted him in the chest as hard as he could. And the dude just fucking got laid out from a chest headbutt.
Damn.
It was very cool. We were all like, yeah, ruled. Yeah. Also, by the way, I looked under the table. And even though you have platform Crocs, your little feeties are just fucking dangling from the stool. Like in the sky.
I never
so
can reach
cute,
the ground.
Like a little kid just like, mommy, I threw up. Can I have bananas?
I would love a banana.
I like the yogurt because it has M&Ms. That's you.
All those things are true about me. I love the yogurt with M&Ms.
That's so real. Oh, my God.
Maybe it's a problem with... maybe there's like a Napoleon complex on the Supreme Court, because get this, Antonin Scalia, 5'7".
How tall is Amy Coney Barrett?
Well, it doesn't...
What if she's like 6'2"?
It's not the same for women, but let's see. I like that I'm just looking up Supreme Court. Justice Heights.
Well, you know, we got to know
this
for
is what
research.
This show is about. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was 5'1". We know she was tiny.
The last bitch.
Amy Coney Barrett, reasonable. 5'6".
There you go. You could still take her.
It says she weighs around 121 pounds.
Why does it know her weight?
I don't know.
Why are we weighing the fucking, like, the SCOTUS? Like,
dude, but to be 5'6 and 121, now I know why she's so angry. Because she's starving.
Yeah,
that's
no
really
kidding.
Light for that height.
No, I have backpacks that weigh more. That's fucking crazy, dude.
Damn.
Yeah, dude. I could just roll her up like a football and throw her, hypothetically. I would never do that in
right,
real life.
Of course. All right. Well, let's get to the stories before Shane writes any more books.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, everything I say is hypothetical, and it could happen if you wrote a book, but I would never mean any of this stuff.
Yeah, Shane's too busy. He can't get around to writing these books.
It's comedy. So there's a California water shortage. CNN's talking about it. We read a lot of it before, and I'm just simply not going to do it again. I'll be honest. It's a pretty dry article. Let's fucking go.
Well, that's the thing. We went over this a couple weeks ago, and time and time again. That's why no one cares about the environment, or not a lot of people, because these articles are so filled with like facts and information, and everyone's like, "What about Mr. Potato Head wearing a dress?"
Yeah, what about comedians doing fun climate change puns? Yeah. What about that? Anyway,
Greta Thunberg was our only hope, and I mean, she's still on school strike, and I don't even think anyone cares anymore.
Greta Thunberg was the wrong ambassador. She's great.
Yeah, because she was a child.
I think we should not have done that. Who put the child in? Bill Nye wanted to do it. People love Bill Nye, and we fucking let a baby in there? She rowed across the ocean in a rowboat and was like, with her fucking braids in, and was like, hey, and then talked to straight murderers. Putin was in the room.
Yeah.
She's talking to actual war criminals, and she's like, my mom says, yeah, that, I threw up. Sorry. If I think climate change is bad and kids are gonna have to do what you do, she's like, you know, anyway, she was very well spoken. I'm just being an asshole.
It felt like it was no a Republican's idea. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like just, if we put JoJo Siwa in charge of abortion, like rhetoric, we're like, yeah, no, JoJo Siwa's pro abortion. It's like, we're gonna lose this.
We're gonna lose
this again. We put another child at the helm.
It's just so funny to be like, hey, can you guys stop doing climate change? And Putin is like, I murder people with my hands. You think I give a fuck what a child says? Where was Bill Nye? Anyway.
I don't know.
Greta, I appreciate you. I think you're great. You're right, but you shouldn't be in charge of anything. Also, how did her parents let that happen? She got so much hate.
Well, they wanted it to happen. Like anytime a child is being that outspoken, you know the parents are puppeteering.
It's so creepy. I don't like it. I think it's like kind of sinister a little bit. And now she has to live for the rest of her life. Like she didn't as that thing, you know? I just don't like it.
I think she got us talking about it, but it, unfortunately, we live in a country where women aren't even fully respected yet, and then you put a female child, and then you go, that wasn't gonna take. Yeah. You know, I love giving people opportunities, but we just need to get the message through at this point because we're all gonna burn up.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
So there's a California water shortage. The snow melt isn't replenishing the reservoirs. Climate change is deeply affecting the water. Now California is like, hey, most of the water usage is coming from landscaping. And people still have too much grass. They're not replacing it with the AstroTurf stuff or whatever, which you have done. Corinne Fisher, ally to the fucking earth and the environment.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
When I lose my mind and become an environmental terrorist, I will spare you. but yeah, it's just it's basically a huge deal. And I mean, what could be more important than being like, hey, just so you know, the western part of the United States is going to run out of water, possibly.
Right.
And then we discussed how Elon Musk is trying to go to space instead of mass making a way to turn ocean water into drinkable water in mass quantities, which is like just no one's going to do because there's no demand for it.
Right.
Which even, is
though
sad.
I think it's a very profitable and exciting business idea because as we were talking about, too many people are just making products for the sake of making products instead of finding a solution to a problem, which as any like person who succeeded in business will tell you, I follow so many business accounts and they're like, you want to find a problem and you want to find a solution to that problem, or you want to find a question, you want to find an answer to it instead of just like making products. Like the world doesn't need any more product.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it sucks. And then, you know, Nabisco owns water and they're evil and they literally hire mercenaries in South America to kill people who try to get free access to water, and they sell us Oreos.
Damn.
Yep. Yeah. So it's pretty brutal.
Pretty fucked up, guys.
Let's go ahead and lighten things up. Did you see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
With this
it's an anorexia
next,
joke.
Yeah, with this next article.
You're shameless.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to try and do a pun on everyone. No, I can't do it on the next one. But anyway, Do you pulled this one? Did you get into it?
Yeah, I mean, I did. I
feel like this one is for you.
It's an article
not me.
That we need to read, but we don't have a ton in Girl, so I think you know we can get through it. This will be like the longer article because this is like the thought piece. But this is from the New York Times. A gymnast's death was supposed to be a wake up call. What took so long? Christy Henrich's struggle with eating disorders launched a reckoning in sports, but progress has been slow. It's by Maggie Astor. In the uneven bars final at the 1989 World Championships, Christy Henrich came within 0.05 of a point of perfection. It was a beautiful routine capped with a dismount perfectly stuck, and Henrich grinned as she waited for her score. She finished fourth. It was in this crucible, women's gymnastics, after Nadia Comaneci and Mary Lou Retton, when commentators were chomping at the bit to anoint their successors. It says champing at the bit, but I think that's a typo because that's not the saying.
Yeah.
Unless the word is champing, actually.
It's champing at the bit?
Yeah, that's a common misconception is that it's chomping.
I'm going to go ahead and say...
It's not a horse term? It's not like a racehorse term?
I think it is champ.
Oh, well, we learned something new today.
I'm still going to say chomping.
Wow. Origin story. Love what. Okay. Champing at the bit to anoint their successors when a 9.95 out of 10 might win you a medal that one of the United States' best athletes concluded was not good enough. Between 1988, when Henrich missed the Olympic team by a fraction of a point, and the next Olympics 4 years later, she developed anorexia and bulimia. She left the sport in 1991 and died in 1994 at 22 from multiple organ failure caused by starvation. Henrich's death has been presented as a catalyst for systemic changes in American gymnastics. A lot of problems there, we know. Looking back at her story allows us to re-examine an environment that was toxic for many elite gymnasts, to rethink the public's limited understanding of eating disorders, and to take stock of how much remains to be done to protect young female athletes. And as gymnastics has been forced to confront revelations of long-term sexual abuse and misconduct, discussions about mental health at the highest echelons of sports have become more relevant than ever. That conversation started with gymnastics, and the topic was specifically sexual abuse. Then it was other forms of abuse and the culture of obedience that enabled them. Americans joined competitors from Australia, Britain, Canada, and the Netherlands in calling out mistreatment, including weight shaming. And then, seemingly suddenly, but far from it, the conversation was about mental health in sports of all kinds. The progress is incomplete, and the public vulnerability of athletes such as Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka continues to be rare, because it is rarely welcomed. But from some angles, it looks like a fulfillment of a reckoning that began with Henrich. Problem in the air. Henrich's parents put her in gymnastics classes for the same reason as 1,000 other gymnast parents. She was constantly climbing on things. She made the junior, you know, classic story. She made the junior national team the year she turned 14, and then a senior national team a year later. But Bo Moreno, whom she met in high school in Independence, Missouri, and who became her fiancé when she was 18 and he was 19, remembers her as just like any other teenage girl. Funny, sociable, interested in fashion, liable to call him out of the blue because she wanted to surprise him with homemade cookies. I think this is all in his head. But she didn't have vanilla extract, so could he bring some over? Everyone was her friend. She talked to everybody. That was one of the things that made me fall in love with her, Moreno said. Her outside the gym was completely different from her inside the gym. Inside the gym, she was driven by one goal, become an Olympian. When she fell short in 88, she focused even more fiercely on 1992. In an interview shortly before her death, Henrich said her coach, Al Fong, had compared her to the Pillsbury Doughboy and pressured her to lose weight. Fong, who did not respond to an interview request sent through the gym he owns, has repeatedly denied that assertion and said he tried to get Henrich help. I mean, you could do both. Mainly, though, Henrich attributed her eating disorders to a comment from a judge at an international competition in the late 1980s. The judge, she said, told her she needed to lose weight, so she tried to do that by any means. This direct cause and effect is in most accounts of Henrich's illness, and certainly the judge's comment was the sort of crystallizing moment many gymnasts can point to. For Teresa Kolikowski, an alternate to the 1996 Olympic team, it was when she read that a gymnast she admired ate a low-fat diet. For Nancy Tyes Marshall, a 1972 Olympian, it was when a coach called her a, quote, fat pig. I've been called that by Mike Racine.
he's very funny.
A remark seared so deeply in her mind that she remembers where she was standing and how the gym smelled when it was uttered. Brutal. I can tell that story, and she can tell the story of the judge, Tyes Marshall said, but I know that it's so much more complicated than that. Medical understanding of eating disorders has advanced greatly since Henrik's death, and is now clear genetics play a role. Abusive or simply careless comments can be triggers, but some people are more susceptible through no fault of their own. It has been misportrayed consistently as a disease of choice, and it's really not at all a disease of choice, said Dr. Stuart Murray, the director of the University of Southern California's Eating Disorders Program and its Translational Research in Eating Disorders Laboratory. It's a biologically based illness that people can't opt into, and they can't opt out of it oftentimes. In the world of elite gymnastics, the problem was, quote, in the air, said Kathy Johnson Clark, a 1984 Olympian who struggled with an eating disorder and who is now an ESPN gymnastics commentator. It was her teammates' casual conversations about the laxatives they used. It was the compliments they got after being sick. Wow, you look great. Television broadcasts and news articles, including in the New York Times, routinely included gymnasts' heights and weights. We just did that to the Supreme Court, but fuck them.
Yeah. We hate them.
Reporters presented tiny bodies as inherent to the sport and took note of gymnastics who deviated from that norm, however slightly. A profile on the two-time Olympic medalist Carrie Strug in 1997 used the verb ballooned to describe 5 pounds of weight gain. Their futures may be big, but these athletes are not. Ready 1989 Los Angeles Times article. Oh my God. Referring to six girls training under Bella Caroli in pursuit of the 1992 Olympic team, only two of whom made it to the Olympic trials, and at least one of whom developed an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. It called one gymnast the smallest and best, giving her height and weight before turning to the biggest, but not the worst. These are real quotes. Holy shit! It's like they're describing livestock or horses, said Maria Rago, a clinical psychologist and the president of the board of directors of the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders.
It's a long name.
Yeah, I know. Shorten that. Maybe you should do to the name what you're doing to your bodies. Trim it down.
Oh my God.
We'll be here all week, guys. After Henrik essentially stopped eating, she competed in a televised event, and Moreno recalled the first thing the announcer said was, look at Christy Henrik. She's slimmed up. She looks great.
Jesus. Fucking why? This was in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
After
Henrik's death, many in the news media seemed to blame her for succumbing to her disease. They attributed her eating disorder to the judge's comment alone or to a lack of common sense on her part. Irrational obsession consumed her talent, her life, read a 1994 Associated Press headline. The Los Angeles Times said that she gave in to anorexia and that no one could save Henrik because she could not save herself. I mean, give the bitch some help. She's a child. The idea that Henrik could have lived if she had only been stronger, experts say, is unscientific and harmful. She hated it as much as everyone else did, said Moreno, her fiance. She didn't want to be like this, and that was the hardest part and the most tragic part about watching it. Moreno's talking a lot. I'm like, what did you do to help her? In 1993, Henrik explained to a reporter from her hometown paper, The Examiner, that she experienced the illness as a malevolent force separate from who she was and wanted to be. It feels like there's a beast inside of me, like a monster, she said. It feels evil. A transformation delayed. In the shock that followed Henrik's death, many broadcasters stopped listing gymnasts' weights in television chirons, and the United States Gymnastics Federation, the sports' governing body, now known as USA Gymnastics, hired Tyes Marshall to create an athlete wellness program. I mean, I'm sure a Band-Aid. Designed with experts and other former gymnasts, it included a referral network for eating disorder treatment, a curriculum for coaches that covered nutrition, biomechanics, sports medicine, and sports psychology, and a mentoring system to pair national team members with former members who could serve as confidants. But USA Gymnastics cut the program's funding around 2000, and the system regressed. Martha Caroli, the wife of Bella Caroli, who in the journalist Joan Ryan's 1995 book, Little Girls in Pretty Boxes, had been publicly accused of abusive training methods, was installed as coordinator of the women's national team. Centralized training camps were established at the Caroli's ranch, where the team doctor, Larry Nassar, we know him, would molest athletes for years. At those camps, numerous gymnasts have said in recent years the Caroli's forced athletes to train on serious injuries and created an environment in which gymnasts were afraid to be seen eating more than small quantities. The Carolis have said they were unaware of Nassar's behavior, and their attorney has denied the abuse allegations against them. Okay. Around that time, Nassar was exposed, in 2016, USA Gymnastics asked Kolakowski, the 1996 Olympic alternate who now runs a mindfulness and meditation practice, to update the program's wellness manual. A spokeswoman, Jill Geer, said USA Gymnastics did not publish the new manual but adopted many of its suggestions. She said that, among other things, USAG now requires national team members to get annual sports physicals. It's crazy that that wasn't necessary before.
Absolutely wild.
Ensures that medical staff review the results of those physicals for warning signs of disordered eating, such as irregular menstruation, and provides athletes, coaches, and parents with educational materials about body image and healthy eating. It also hired a chef, a chief of athlete health and wellness in 2019. I really wanted that to say chef, but it didn't. Al Fong, who still coaches elite athletes at his gym, Great American Gymnastics Express, has acknowledged that some of his methods were too harsh. Two gymnasts who worked with him more recently than Henrik, Caitlin Ohashi, who trained at Gage until 2009, and Brenna Dowell, who trained there through 2016, said he rarely mentioned weight. But even as some coaches improved and public scrutiny of the gymnasts' bodies became less explicit, the culture that contributed to Henrik's death endured. After Ohashi moved to Texas in 2009 to train with Valerie Lukin, known for coaching his daughter, the 2008 Olympic champion Nastia Lukin, she described a deep-seated climate of shame in which she and her teammates would play games to decide whether to eat that day. Lukin would sometimes blame Ohashi's weight if she fell in practice, she said, or he would simply look her over and instruct her to run for 45 minutes. Other times, she recalled, he said she looked like she swallowed an elephant. Lukin, that doesn't even make sense. Come on.
Yeah, that's a fucking terrible burn.
That's not a good write. You're not good at writing. Lukin, whom multiple gymnasts have accused of similar behavior, the Orange County Register reported, and who until recently was a candidate to take over the women's national team, did not respond to a request for comment sent through his gym. How about a woman runs the woman's top part? World Olympic Gymnastics Academy. Geer said he was no longer being considered for the USAG job. Elite athletes from other sports, including figure skating and track and field, have also spoken out in recent years about abusive environments that they fostered eating disorders and other mental health issues. But while Henrik struggled not to be defined by or blamed for her illness, today the athletes are much more empowered to speak up for themselves and are more often treated as fully formed humans when they do. News coverage, while far from faultless, has shifted its focus to athletes' voices. Much of the coverage of the figure skater Gracie Gold's eating disorder and depression, for instance, focused not on dramatic description of how little she ate, but on the roots of eating disorders and the challenges in treating them. Athletes such as Biles and Osaka have led the way in shifting the conversation around mental health, while emphasizing that failures at the top have left them to carry burdens that should not be theirs, and that if reforms are not to be restricted to helping those at the pinnacle of their sports, they need to be systemic. You have very public examples of role models who are much more in control, Tyce Marshall said. Women can look to those role models and say, I don't have to put up with this.
There it is.
Nice.
Man, just fucking the amount of bullshit that goes on. Also, these last few weeks so full of topics that I really have no business even discussing.
Well, eating disorders, I mean, affect men too.
I mean, so does abortion, but it's still like, well, it's such a female-centric thing.
Right, but I mean, like, it's more...
Or not female. I mean, there are men who get abortions, but...
Right, but I mean, like, it's more like this is like I think it's like more broadly affects men probably than abortions.
Yeah, true. And like, well, and I don't know.
Well, like their physicality, not their mental health, physicality. Yeah. Because, but I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's also different. I think it's also like a societal difference. Like, being a fat woman, like we still haven't found a place for that. Whereas, like, fat men, I feel like we almost have. Like, they're the funny guys, and like there are funny fat women. But even in comedy, I was like so disappointed when like all comedians started being thin. I was like, this is the place, this is like the part of the entertainment business when you're supposed to be able to be fat. Like, this is like the fun part.
Yeah, that you could do anything.
Yeah, you can do anything and you don't have to look a certain way. And then like I feel like in recent years, like it has started getting like more looks oriented, which is weird because the conversation in media in general is definitely like less centered around looks than it was. Well, but it's still there, and there's still fucking tabloids calling people fat in their bathing suits all the time, which is like, Jesus Christ.
Jonah Hill's dealt with like a crazy amount of just like wild shit. And even people, when they lose weight, deal with hate. And I just think we should stop. It's not fucking news whether someone gains or loses weight. Like,
yeah.
Let them just fucking live their life. How do they look in the outfit? Is the outfit good? Do they look not like, if you want to talk about someone's appearance, talk about their choices aesthetically and not their body, you know?
Well, because fashion is actually like something that people are working on, people study.
Yeah.
That it's a creative thing, like being fat or being thin or being whatever. Like, it's not. There's nothing inspiring about it. I mean, I think it's inspiring sometimes when people like work really hard to lose weight because they're in an unhealthy zone. I do think that is inspiring.
But the part that's inspiring is the work.
And that, yeah, exactly. And like, that's their story to tell if they choose to say. It's not for other people to be like, wow.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. Just if your kid's in gymnastics, eyes on that fucking teacher. Or coach or whatever.
When I was in gymnastics class as a child, there was like a room that the parents sat in with a see-through wall, and they would watch us the whole time.
Yeah, it's the way to do it. Jesus. There's probably a second room with a window where the other guys watch you.
I was literally thinking about that. And I was like, yeah, some of those parents were definitely creepers, I'm sure.
Yeah. Or just like a guy who's like, yeah, my daughter's out there. Look at both ways. Like,
it's like, I wonder why my husband is always so intent on like bringing my kid to gymnastics practice.
Yeah.
Your husband's a molester.
Yeah. Yep. Today we're welcoming back IP Vanish, VPN to the show. IP Vanish has been a long time sponsor of ours, so it's great to have him back. Let me tell you about IP Vanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, the easiest way to protect yourself is with a condom. I mean, IP Vanish.
Crazy.
VPN. Sorry. Rated 4.5 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IP Vanish provides an encrypted connection for all your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, and even hackers like Corinne Fisher from intercepting your data. You can help keep your financial details, personal information, and online activity safe from threats with IP Vanish.
Yes, get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/country. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/country, all lowercase. Come on, you know you fucking want to. Now, back to the news.
Okay, so our next article is about Madison Cawthorn.
You've heard about him,
maybe. Probably heard about him, maybe. He has been getting not even blackmailed, because people are just like putting out images of him and stuff. So basically what happened was he went on a podcast. He alluded to being invited to drug-fueled orgies.
And he's a congressman, just so you guys know.
By senior members of conservative leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So, firstly, absolutely, we already know this happens.
Yeah.
You know, in both parties. But so because of the, and then weirdly, somehow after saying this, he began to be smeared right before an election.
Crazy.
Huh. Oh, and then it's so funny how like the elites are like almost bad at this kind of stuff. It's like when the Clintons, that guy like said all that bad stuff about the Clintons, and then they were like, he wrecked his car and shot himself in the back of the head. It's like, yeah. I bet he did, you know? And so this is that where they're like, all this bad stuff comes about him after this, and it's like, oh, I wonder why this is happening. Definitely couldn't be related to that. So it's just fucking crazy. So This is an article by Politico. It basically, photographs obtained by Politico appear to show Madison Cawthorn, the embattled Republican congressman from North Carolina. By the way, shows in North Carolina were great. You people know how to get down. Who recently accused his GOP colleagues of inviting him to orgies, wearing lingerie in what appears to be a party setting.
Cawthorn, and he looks good in it.
Yeah,
he's
no,
hot.
He's killing it. Yeah. Cawthorn, terrible politics, looks like a good time at a party.
Yeah.
Cawthorn, 26, was raised in a conservative Baptist community in Henderson County, North Carolina, and has staked his political persona on arch-traditional Christian principles and the insistence of the importance of a kind of hyper-masculinity. His comments about the sexual perversion in Washington made on a podcast, which he later admitted were exaggerated. Yeah, I bet he would say that. Drew the public disapproval and disavowal of minority leader Kevin McCarthy, as well as other Republican leaders, including those in his North Carolina congressional caucus. The revelation of the two photos in the latest in a series of unflattering headlines for the freshman member of Congress in the run-up to the primary in his first re-election bid. The primary in North Carolina is May 17th. Cawthorn has 7 Republican opponents who see him as vulnerable. Cawthorn, who was paralyzed from the waist down as a passenger in a car accident in Florida in 2014, that sentence unrelated to him being vulnerable, in recent months has called Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky a thug, suggested teetotaling Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has a drinking problem, and racked up a collection of traffic transgressions, including speeding, driving with expired tags, and driving with a revoked license. He has court dates in May and June. Wow, he's really fucking going. This guy's a fucking animal.
I want his number.
Yeah. Politico could not independently verify the photos, which are screenshots of original images. They were provided to Politico by a person formerly close to Cawthorn and his campaign. A second person formerly close to Cawthorn and his campaign.
It's all ex-girlfriends.
Yeah, confirmed the origin of the photos. The date the photos were taken is unclear, though they appear to show Cawthorn sitting in a wheelchair, indicating the event happened after his incident. In the photos, he is wearing a distinctive pendant necklace that has appeared in other images of Cawthorn. The photos have started to circulate among political rivals. Cawthorn spokesman Luke Ball did not respond to multiple requests for comment. After the story's published, Cawthorn tweeted the photos were taken of him during a game on a cruise before he was elected to Congress. I guess the left thinks goofy vacation photos during a game on a cruise taken way before I ran for Congress is somehow going to hurt me. They're running out of things to throw at me. Share your most embarrassing vacay pics in the replies. I like how he thinks the left is doing this to him.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, dude. I don't think they're doing that to you, because no matter what, a Republican's going to get elected in that district. So what's their plan? I don't know. I was raised on proverbs and push-ups, Cawthorn said in a podcast in September 2020. I don't know why Politico added that.
Yeah,
it's just like a weird...
Just to add a little color.
Oh, never mind. There's more. It just, that line just ended over an ad.
That was a standout one.
Yeah, yeah. I subscribe to Judeo-Christian beliefs, he continued. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I think if you think about my political ideology, where it really stems from, you know, my ethics and my morals and what I think is right and wrong, you look to ancient Jerusalem. You got ancient Judeo-Christian values. So right and wrong. So right and wrong. That's a weird
sentence. Right and wrong.
So right and wrong. Yeah. Why am I reading that? I was combining the two together.
It's weird, yeah.
He continued, I also cling to a lot of traditional values and a lot of traditional ideas because they've worked in the past. Have they? What? I think that we have bred a generation of soft men, and that generation has created a lot of problems in our society and our culture, he said in March 2021 on a podcast.
And then he whispered, women.
Yeah, designed to reclaim and restore masculinity in a society that is even more dismissive of what it means to be a man. It is also so funny to me, I just want to point out real quick, that Republicans are always talking about socialism and the left. They're breeding these weak men on the left. And then for like 40 years, they were like, the Soviet Union is the most destructive and terrifying force known to humanity. They've killed more people than any ideology, and they're a threat to all of the world. And it's like, what's going on? Are socialists giant pussy babies that are making the world tough? Or are they your literal nightmare and worst enemy that you're so afraid of, you'll do anything to stop them. Which one is it, guys? Are we horrific monsters or weak little babies?
I like that you finally let everyone know it was about you.
Yeah, you have to fucking decide.
You have a soft heart, but you could fight a bitch. That's rare.
It's the Nazi thing where Nazis were like, Jews are destroying the world. And then they were also, they're very weak and pathetic. That's a fascist tactic.
Yeah,
to make your enemy both incredibly weak, but also dangerous.
Yeah.
So that you feel superior, but also you have to stop them. That's classic Nazi shit.
Oh, wow. People do Nazi shit to women.
Yeah, all the time.
Cute.
Yeah, fascism. I think we have, anyway, there's only one God and two genders, he said in a tweet earlier this week.
Nice ending to the article, yep. Politico.
Yep. So there was another article about how he had all these homoerotic tweets and people were, or not tweets, things on Venmo. And there was a video of him mostly naked, humping a guy's face.
Right, that was a big
thing. And everyone was like, is he gay? I'm here to tell you guys, he's not gay. He's
a dude.
That's straight guy stuff.
Yeah, gay guys don't do shit like that.
Yeah, that's the straightest shit in the world. So he's not gay. He's just a fucking frat guy. He's a frat boy, up to weird frat boy shit. And he's getting blackballed by his own political party for outing them for the weird shit they do. And also, he's like a Trump guy. He was encouraging the January 6th shit. He's a weirdo. And the Republicans, Mitch McConnell and those guys, they're anti-Trump. They're trying to secure the power. They don't want any demagoguery. So Madison Cawthorn is getting the axe by his own party. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's also like it's fun that they're still trying to like they're all trying to like vilify people for being gay on the right still, which is interesting, and mm-hmm. also trying to say that if you are gay, you cannot be a masculine or manly man, because he wasn't like the things that he was saying and talking about were like, oh, like men have gone soft, but like that has nothing to do with who you fuck.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even, it's a weird thing that they're obviously saying like that they think gay people are like basically like pansies. Like that's like a nice, that's what the right is saying to us.
Which is, yeah, it's just silly.
One of the few people I know who can like mount TVs and build stuff is my best friend, and he's gay. One of the few men I know who can do that. You can too, but yeah.
Well, we are in New York, so.
Yeah.
People here are. Anyway, it's just fucking silly. And they are trying to do the like homophobia thing where they're like, look at all this gay stuff he did. Look at him in lingerie. Look at what, and then
he looks so good in that lingerie. I looked at that picture way too long.
He's having a great time.
He looks so good. He's so attractive.
Yeah, and he's just, and I just think that they're trying to touch on that because. You know, conservatives are doing their best to appeal to the most extreme part of their base.
Yeah.
And that is very religious people.
Which is what they did in the 80s. And that's how we got the whole abortion thing and the conversation about partial birth abortion. I went into that in depth last week. But that's why Reagan won by such a landslide, because they finally found a way to get these evangelical Christian voters to vote. And it was by saying, you don't want them to kill babies, do you?
Yeah.
It was like, honestly, like watching it, I was like, this is pretty good gameplay, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on that here in a bit.
Yeah.
Our next story, SNL on the front page of CNN and a few other news sites. I mean, it's weird to talk about SNL, but I feel like it's so weird that it's like culturally relevant. Like that's what
some of
these news sites are like, oh, look what SNL said, as opposed to like, but look what the president said or whatever, like Benedict Cumberbatch's sketch about.
Well, SNL, you know, historically, their opening sketch, their cold open, is something that has to do with the politics that are happening at the time. And I mean, especially during the political races, SNL, I think, really does like affect, I would say, people's perception of politicians based on how they are portrayed. So I don't think it's like the craziest thing, you know. Honestly, just take the attention off stand-up comedians for just 1 second would be great. It's just people getting like hit and punched and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they did their cold open about abortion. And did you watch the sketch?
I did. Yeah. I watched the whole episode. Weirdly, I'm a glutton for punishment.
You didn't like it?
No, it was fine.
It said heading into the final month of its season at Saturday Night Live, and this is from CNN Business, took on the biggest story of the week, Politico obtaining a draft of a majority opinion written by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito that would overturn Roe v. Wade. The NBC variety show opened its latest episode by taking viewers all the way back to a castle in 1235, where abortion was discussed. We can now go to that profound moment of moral clarity almost 1,000 years ago, which laid such a clear foundation for what our laws should be in 2022, said the show's announcer in a sarcastic tone. There we met host Benedict Cumberbatch and cast members Andrew Dismukes and James Austin Johnson. God, I haven't watched the show in so long, I don't even know who either of those people are, as medieval nobles. While I was cleaning the hole on the side of the castle where we poop and it falls through the sky into a moat of human feces, I started to think about abortion. That was a good line. Cumberbatch's character said, "Don't you think we should make a law against it?" "You mean like the law we have against pointy shoes?" Johnson's character asked. Cumberbatch's character noted that the court should make a law that stands the test of time, so hundreds and hundreds of years from now, they'll look back and say, "No need to update this one at all. They nailed it back in 1235. Cumberbatch, Dismukes, and Johnson began to debate the topic of abortion and figure out how to put the law together. "Let's be careful. The worst thing that could happen is that someone leaks this conversation to the town crier," Cumberbatch's character said. Then Cecily Strong, playing a townswoman, joined the conversation. "Knock, knock. Just kidding. We don't have doors," she said. "Anywho, I was outside watching the sheriff throw left-handed children into the river, and I couldn't help but overhear
you." That's a really good joke.
Yeah.
By the way, huge crush on Cecily Strong.
I don't know why. She's great. And she was there when Mike Racine called me a fat pig.
Oh, fun.
And she defended me. And I couldn't help but overhear.
Was she like, "She's a medium size pig, at least"?
No, but she was horrified. And I couldn't help but overhear you talking about a new law. Strong's character then asked if women should have the right to choose since, quote, having a baby means like a 50% chance of dying. I just don't understand why you are so obsessed with this issue, she added. Like, what about the fact that no one can read or write and everyone's dying of plague? Dismukes' character stopped her there and said, "Oh, you think just because I have active plague, that means I need to wear a mask? It's my body, my choice." I thought that was a little hack. Finally,
yeah, they got to fit that in there to like make fun of them for using that saying and then coming back to the thing.
Yeah, I was like, come on, I've heard that, I've seen this. When you've seen something on Twitter, you shouldn't see it on SNL. Finally, Kate McKinnon, playing a haggard looking woman with gray hair, entered. "My God, an ogre," Cumberbatch's character said, shocked. No, just a woman in her 30s, McKinnon's character responded. That was so funny.
Yeah, that's a good one.
She then explained that she could see the future. "These barbaric laws will someday be overturned by something called progress," McKinnon's character said. "Then about 50 years after the progress, they'll be like, maybe we should undo the progress." Then all the characters came together to say the show's signature catchphrase, live from New York, it's Saturday night.
I would like to point out this is a historically inaccurate sketch because in the 1230s, abortion was legal.
How was it performed?
They had tons of ways to perform abortion.
There was like tinctures and
stuff. Yeah, they had tinctures and they had other things they did and like and things that they thought would induce abortion, even if they didn't or not. You know,
That's a part of the episode that I wanted to get into last week. I like about how abortion has been around for like since Egyptian times.
I am going to discuss it here in a bit.
Good.
So I have prepared a thing. Actually, I could do it now. Because we're about to talk about how Mitch McConnell is kind of burying the lead when people are like, hey, if this ruling goes through, does that mean there can be a federal ban on abortion? Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like, it is possible. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. I was kind of at least happy to see many Republicans in the comments of this Fox News article being like, Mitch McConnell's an idiot. This should be a state's issue, not a federal issue, which is like, that's what a silver lining, I suppose. But the thing is, if you're voting conservative and Mitch McConnell's the Speaker of the House, there's just nothing you can do. The leader of the Republican Party. There's just nothing you're still voting for the guy and he's still going to do what he's going to do at the federal level. So, I mean, but at least their opinion is that it should be a statewide thing. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. I'll just read some of this Fox News article. McConnell says nationwide abortion ban is, quote, possible if Roe v. Wade is overturned. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said it's possible abortion will be banned nationwide. During an interview with USA Today, McConnell suggested a national abortion ban could happen, but noted such a discussion is premature. McConnell similarly said during a press conference that it was too soon to be discussing a federal ban on abortion. All of this puts the cart before the horse, he said at the time after a reporter asked whether he would support legislation to restrict the procedure if Republicans win control of the Senate. So that's... if they win, basically by not saying it, he's saying it.
Yeah.
When asked during USA Today interview if a conversation on national abortion ban is worthy of the debate, the senator said federal restrictions on the procedure are possible. If the leaked opinion became final opinion, legislative bodies, not only at the state level, but at the federal level, certainly could legislate in that area, McConnell said. And if there is a final decision, that would that was the point that it should be resolved one way or another in the legislative process. So, yeah, it's possible, he continued. However, McConnell stressed that he would not seek a filibuster to carve out for legislation on any subject should the GOP win back the Senate. This comes after Politico published a draft opinion from we all know what happened. McConnell also said Republicans have made their position clear on abortion. With regard to the abortion issue, I think it's clear where Senate Republicans stand, McConnell said. And if and when the court makes a final decision, I expect everybody will be more definitive, but I don't think it's much of a secret where Senate Republicans stand on that issue. After Politico published the draft, McConnell and his Republican colleagues criticized the leak. The Kentucky senator said during the address on the Senate floor Tuesday that the Department of Justice should investigate and pursue criminal charges against whoever is responsible for the leak.
And we can throw them a parade.
Yeah,
that person rocks.
Democrats expressed frustration with the contents of the draft, fearing the possibility that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi slammed the draft opinion after it was reported Monday evening. If the report is accurate, the Supreme Court is poised to inflict the greatest restriction of rights in the past 50 years, not on all women, but on all Americans. Republican-appointed justices reported votes to overturn Roe v. Wade would go down as an abomination, one of the worst and most damaging decisions in modern history, the two lawmakers said in a joint statement. Roe v. Wade supporters have taken to the streets in protest. Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff we already know, you know. I think the president's view is there's a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness for many, many people across the country about what they saw in the leaked document, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said. At a briefing Thursday, we obviously want people's privacy to be respected. We want people to protest peacefully if they want to protest. That is certainly what the president's view would be. Demonstrations are also anticipated at Catholic churches on Mother's Day after the pro-choice group Ruth Sent Us, named after the late liberal justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, urged its Twitter followers to protest the high court's potential overturning at their local Catholic churches. Whether you're a Catholic for choice, ex-Catholic, or other of or no faith, recognize the six extremist Catholics set out to overturn Roe, the group wrote. Stand at or in a local Catholic church.
All right, wackos over the age of 21, we want to tell you about MePod, our newest vape pen sponsor. We've talked about them a few times before. Now, as a warning, these products contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. I can tell you I'm not a vape user, but the people on the network who are into vaping, which is basically everyone but me and Shane,
literally everyone,
and not Alec, as he just told us, can't shut up about the MePod. A lot of talk about the flavors and the quality of the MePod devices. Also, let's be honest, if you're still smoking, maybe don't. The copy here says that it's gross and annoying. I don't care about you being gross or annoying. I just think that you should live longer, and I would love for you to quit smoking if you're quitting.
Expensive.
If you're smoking.
Expensive habit.
Yeah, and it's just, you're just killing yourself, and we don't want that to happen. So for all you vapors out there, I want to tell you about the products available at MePod.com. It's MePod.com, because if you're a smoker or a vapor, you're going to love these. Shane, take it away.
The new MePod 2.0 is the best. best refillable vape on the market today. Vapers can refill with any vape juice flavor they prefer. Long-lasting battery and a small, sleek design.
I literally thought they were pitching battery as one of the flavors, and I was like, MePod.
Come on. Oh, MePod. MePod has a wide variety of disposable vapes available on MePod.com, including top-selling brands like Vaporlax, which sounds like it makes you poop, Draco, which is a guy from Harry Potter, Hyde and Air Bar, which are also things. I think fans of disposables would really like the new Draco disposable vape, which lasts for 6,500 puffs.
Oh, that's so many.
Wow, MePod has a wide variety of vape juice options. MePod also has a wide variety of vaping options for its 420 customers or consumers. Lastly, MePod has fast shipping, with most orders shipping out the same day. So if you're a vapor or a smoker, you'll love MePod. Support the sponsor that supports our show by going to MePod.com if you use promo code WAC. You're going to get 15% off. You're just going to get 50% off if you do it. So once again, that's MePod.com, promo code WAC, and then you'll just get 50% off. It's pretty awesome. So anyway, go do that. Now, back to the news.
Nice.
That article leads me into something I want to talk about. So I obviously am a man. My opinions on all this shit is kind of like, you know, who gives a fuck? Silence, man. I have, someone has had an abortion. I am the one who got them pregnant. Abortion is something all men should be talking about or being supportive of, not talking about. My voice is like, what the fuck ever.
Can I ask that person run it by you before?
No.
But they told you after?
They told me after, yeah.
Interesting. And what was your reaction?
My reaction, I was like, I was young and I was very sad. Not that I wasn't going to be a parent, but because I just couldn't believe that it happened to them, and I felt so fucking bad and so stupid, and you know, I just felt fucking awful. It was like devastating. Just because they had been through it and stuff, and I like wasn't there, and it just like it was brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really bad, and I can't imagine. Fucking, I can't imagine what they felt.
Mm-hmm.
Who gives a you know? And that's the thing is like, if I felt that bad, how the fuck did they feel? And I think so, you know, this situation affects so many men, and it affects men with uteruses, and it affects men in general. And then we should speak out and be honest about these kinds of things. I think that helps. If you're a man, you should speak out to the right people. But also your voice is kind of like, you know, this is an issue that affects people with uteruses and women exclusively, almost in like the more physical way with their bodies and stuff. So like, I'm not going to go online and just be like, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's fucking not my time. So like, for instance, last week's episode, had I been here, I probably wouldn't have talked almost at all. So yeah, what you did was fucking awesome.
Thanks.
And great. And, but I do have something to offer in terms of this whole discussion, and that is that
Shane has learned to give abortions.
Yeah, I have learned to give abortions. I bought a shop vac, and I'm ready for you ladies to come over. No, I am a fucking weirdo with history, and I've read the Bible multiple times, and I want to discuss. So you have maybe a little bit of some arrows in your quiver if you're going to discuss abortion, because people don't care about your body autonomy. That's not the argument. People who are pro-abortion are either trying to cite early law or to justify it, or
Who are pro-abortion
or anti-abortion?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People who are anti-abortion are citing a law, kind of like Alita.
Mm-hmm.
Alito.
Yeah.
Alito. Fucking, he's citing an early law from before the United States was even officially a place.
And that's why for those who are listening, like who don't know, that's why that SNL sketch was the inspiration for it, was this really
ancient,
old document. And then they actually start with the beginning of the sketch by pointing out things that Alito really wrote in that whatever, you know, it was almost 100-page document that I talked about.
He needs to use a legal precedent to prove that abortion has always been illegal in the United States. He is wrong, and I
I will explain to you why with and talk about the person he actually cites as being the justice who did that. And the other reason people are anti-abortion is religion. More specifically, they think the Bible speaks out against abortion. And I'm going to talk about that so that you can at least have some understanding of where they're coming from and a way to prove them wrong. So we all know landmark 1973 decision. Women have a constitutional right to abortion under the 14th Amendment, which means your right to privacy. Alito claims an unbroken tradition of prohibiting abortion on pain of criminal punishment from the early days of common law until 1973. Now, to prove that, he cited a court document where a guy named Matthew Hale talked about the quickening or the ensoulment, which is around the 18th week of pregnancy, in Puritan New England. So Alito's trying to say it's always been a crime. So Matthew Hale is a jurist, and this person kind of agrees with Alito talking about the ensoulment, which is a Catholic concept that at a certain point, God comes down and he goes, oh, here's your soul, and then he shoves it into the little fetus's and then now they have a soul. So basically what happens is he's citing Matthew Hale. Now, who is Matthew Hale? Matthew Hale is a jurist from Puritan New England. Matthew Hale sentenced two women to death for witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Matthew Hale, that trial, both those trials where he sentenced those women to death are well documented. Now, it's interesting because if you look up Matthew Hale and the witchcraft trials, you will see that in this document, it is very weird because everyone during the trial is aware that witchcraft is not real. Matthew Hale admits witchcraft isn't real as he's trying these women for death.
I would like to step in and say witchcraft is real, but just not in the context that they talk about it in the Salem Witch Trial.
Sure. Now is not the time to be the witches you couldn't burn. So here's why Matthew Hale is someone we shouldn't take seriously besides the fact that he was a guy with a big pointy hat with a buckle on it. Okay? This motherfucker knew witchcraft wasn't real, but he states, as a prosecutor, it doesn't matter because it's against the law. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that witchcraft isn't real. What matters is that it's against the law. And so, in a room where everyone agrees that witchcraft isn't real, he sentenced two grown women to die because they broke the law that didn't matter. It would be like if you were like, oh, I think unicorns are real. And then I was like, well, that's against the law and you have to die now, even though we both know unicorns aren't real and that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew Hale is a fucking monster, like an actually evil person. Okay. This is a recorded thing. You can look up the pamphlets about these. He also cites in the document that Alito cites where Matthew Hale talks about the ensoulment is also a document where Matthew Hale talks about how it is legal to rape your wife.
Mm-hmm.
He says that if your wife marries you, she is giving up her body unto you and there is no way she can refuse you. So Matthew Hale argued to make it legal for you to rape your wife in England and colonial America.
Then if your wife gets pregnant, uh-oh.
Well, and then he tried to also make it legal. He tried to lower the age of capital punishment to children of 14 years old. So this motherfucker had two women murdered for a thing that wasn't real, and then he made it legal to rape your wife, and then he was like, why don't we just murder kids while we're at it? Mm-hmm. What if we killed 14-year-olds? Yeah. Fuck it. So this is the man that Alito is quoting in order to set a legal precedent for the fact that abortion has always been illegal in the United States, which, by the way, it has not. So when someone says, oh, Alito, it's always been illegal, this is an American tradition is to be anti-abortion, false. Please tell them about Matthew Hale. And when they ask about, be like, so if this guy was evil, do you think we should be citing him? So Matthew Hale is the man you want to Google in order to tell people who say it's always been illegal to do abortion in the United States to fuck themselves. You have just won that argument forever. Now, continuing. Firstly, we're going to talk about the Bible and what it says about abortion, which is nothing. The Bible says not one fucking thing about abortion. Christians are extrapolating unrelated verses in order to make their case. They are arguing backwards. They want abortion to be illegal. They want abortion to be not moral. So they come to that conclusion, and then they go into the Bible in order to find a way to prove it. The way they prove it is by using Exodus chapter 21, verse 22. This is the most cited thing that Christians will argue with you. If most Christians will be like, it's against the religion, and then you say, why? And they won't have an answer. Now you have the answer for them. So this is the article, or this is in the King James Bible, Exodus chapter 21, verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, mischief is also a catch-all for violence, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. So if you hurt a woman who is pregnant and she miscarries, you have to pay a fine according to the local judges in the area. Now, that verse is about miscarriage, not abortion. So fuck yourself, people who think that this has to do with abortion or try to use it to justify that the Bible discusses abortion. But also, this verse that you use to prove that abortion is not moral is actually pro-abortion. Mm-hmm. Because if you stop and think about it, the result of this problem is a fine, not an execution. Because in the Old Testament, it is an eye for an eye. If you murder, you are put to death. So if the destruction of a fetus is a finable offense and not a death offense, that says in the Bible that that is not a person. Because
it's
you have not murdered.
Almost, yeah.
But you have not murdered. That is not yet a person. You have not committed a murder. You've hurt a woman.
Yeah.
That is totally different. So the fetus is not considered a human being yet, according to the Bible. Okay? So chapter 22, verse 23, following that same thing, says, and if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. So the Bible is incredibly specific. If you kill the woman, you have to die. If the woman has a miscarriage, which is not a murder because a fetus is not a human being, then you have to pay a fine. The Bible is stating clearly that it understands that a fetus and a grown woman are two different things. One is a human being, one is a fetus. One has different consequences when you kill it from the other, right? And kill is not even the word I want to use. But other things Christians cite, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments say thou shalt not kill. But actually, the word in Hebrew is ritzak, which means murder. Murder is different from killing. Often in the Bible, they talk about how killing is okay because it is because it's legal under the law. In the book of Numbers, the Bible in Numbers talks about how it does not consider war murder because law is lawful under the state. Remember, the law matters. So they think the Bible defines abortion as murder, but that's nowhere to be found in the Bible. That is a false foundation for talking about murder. Also, people are like, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion. That doesn't mean it's legal. I understand that it's not moral. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about abortion at all, at any point. And I think that silence is deafening, right? Because if you're talking about the Bible, a thing that has very specific rules for tons of things, it tells you how to live your life. The fact that they didn't include abortion when abortion was incredibly common at the time means that they did not care. That is provable, okay? Now, basically, the Stoics talked about abortion a ton, all right? Aristotle literally wrote about abortion. Aristotle. He said the line between lawful and unlawful abortion will be marked by the fact of having sensation and being alive, which he's talking about if the baby's kicking and stuff, you shouldn't have an abortion. That's Aristotle, the guy who lived a fucking trillion years ago. That's how common abortion was. 384 BC, and abortion was so common that some of the most famous philosophers of our day were giving their opinions on it. Okay? So that means...
Well, because I'm looking, you know, for people who don't know when the Bible was written, it was written, you know, different parts were written at different times, but between about 1200 and 165 BC.
Exactly. So that means the fact that it was so common means it's been common, which means the writers of the authors of the Bible were deeply familiar with the concept of abortion, which means they knew about it so totally and completely and yet chose not to write any laws about it, which means there are no laws about it and it is moral. Frankly, you have no argument against this if you're a Christian. The Bible literally has rules for all kinds of crazy shit. Genesis chapter 2 verse 3 says, "And the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils to breathe life and gave the man a living soul." This is a verse that says people don't have a soul until they breathe their first breath. Well, fetuses get oxygen sent to their body through the umbilical cord. They don't breathe until they come out of your mom's, till you shoot them out of your pussy. That's why the doctor spanks you. So by that definition, they don't even in the Bible believe that you have a soul until you take your first breath. So
it's interesting though, because when you look at some resources, it's I don't know why this is like on so many sites, they're saying that the first recorded evidence of a termination of pregnancy is from the Egyptian Ebers Papyrus in 1550 BC. So, but
that's a long fucking time ago.
Oh, so
you're
that's,
going,
yeah, I'm sorry,
it counts up from
yeah,
BC.
I just realized that as I was saying it, I was down. Like, oh, that's even longer ago because I was like, wait, guys, I was like, Egyptian times definitely came before
the
Bible.
Yeah.
I was like, why is this not checking out?
It's counting down,
right? So that's even like that's so long ago.
The reason that's important,
yeah,
and the
that's,
Romans,
that's the first recorded, and that's like kind of like widely talked about on, you know, like PBS and women's centers and both historical places and places that would have more interest in wanting it to be long ago.
The Roman Republic had national laws about abortion. The Roman Republic, one of the largest republics in the history of mankind, understood that abortion was so common that they made laws about it, which means this is to say that the people who authored the Bible were deeply familiar with it, did not make rules about it, which is obvious that they did not care about it. It is not a moral issue that you can quote the Bible to contend with. If you're a Christian who thinks there's biblical evidence for abortion being morally wrong, you are just wrong. You cannot cite any part of the Bible where you can convince someone who has actually read the Bible. And the Bible has rules for all kinds of stuff. I'm going to read some very specific rules the Bible lays out so you can see that if the Bible leaves something out, it is doing it on purpose. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 11 and 12. "And sees among the captives of a beautiful woman, and has a desire unto her that thou wouldest have her thy wife." This is a thing about how if you see a woman that you've captured and you want to make her your wife, you can. That's legal, everybody. Yeah, pretty fun. Chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. "When men strive together one with another, and with the wife of one of those draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand and taketh him by the secrets. Thou shalt cut off her hand, then I shall not pity her, but thine eye shall not pity her." That is a verse about how if you're fist fighting a dude and then you're fist fighting a guy, and then that guy's wife comes out of fucking nowhere and grabs your dick, and then you lose that fight, there is a law for how to handle that.
Very specific.
Very specific. Which also means it happened to someone who wrote the Bible.
Right.
He lost a fight when someone's wife grabbed his bare dick, and then that guy beat him up, and he was like, I'm gonna write a law about this. But that's how specific the Bible is, okay? Some lady was like, I got his dick, Kyle, fuck him up!
And then they have a law about that. Exodus chapter 22, verses 2 and 3. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be bloodshed for him. For he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall not be sold for his theft. What this is saying is that if a thief breaks into your house and you kill him at night, it's legal. But if he breaks into your house during the day and you kill him, you have to die. They have a specific rule for how to punish thieves depending on what time of fucking day it is, everyone. Leviticus chapter 11. Verses 13 through 19. This is a wild one, and it has animal facts, so you're going to like it.
Nice.
And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the ossifrage, the osprey, the vulture, and the kite after its kind, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk, the little fowl, the fisher fowl, or the little owl, the fisher owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, and the hoopoe. Also, the bat. Those are all the birds you can't eat.
Uh-oh.
If they fly, and those are the...
Awkward that it specifically said the bat.
They specifically named all those things.
Yeah.
Also, listen, if you were listening to the Bible, you wouldn't have eaten the bat. Anyway, listen... We all saw where I was going with that, but I'm not even going to do it. The Bible has rules about what fucking birds you can eat.
Yeah.
So the idea that it doesn't talk about abortion at any point when abortion was incredibly common and the authors 100% knew about it is deafening.
It was so common. They were like, this doesn't even seem like it's an issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
True. Like, no joke. The Roman Republic had rules. So anyway, the Stoics talked about it. Aristotle talked about it. They fucking all talked about it. Hi there, responsible adults over the age of 21 living in states where Delta 8 is legal. It's so there's so many requirements. Listen to this copy. If you're under 21, do not listen to this. Do you understand me?
Turn your headphones down.
Earmuffs.
Kitty.
Right now. You want to get high, really high, and I'm talking to not the person from before if you're still listening. You're not allowed, so stop. Do you want to get high, really high? Really super duper. Legally high.
Yeah, kind of killed the buzz there a little bit.
No, the buzz is doing great because it's Delta 8 and that gives you the good buzz.
Mm.
Well, then now is the time to go to yodelta.com where you can stock up on high quality lab tested Delta 8. Science makes it good. Science can take us to the moon. Science got James Cameron to the bottom of the ocean that one time.
Right.
Science is why Avatar 2 is probably going to be the highest grossing movie of all time, which is kind of sad if we're being real. But you know what isn't sad? Science making Delta 8 that gets you really high.
Really super duper fucking legally high.
Exactly. So what's Delta 8? If you it's found in hemp and can be legally shipped to various states and get you really high. YoDelta.com, you can find a mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. If I was a guy who got stoned, I'd probably eat the food.
Yeah.
That's how I do it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that Delta 8 works, and if you get these products, and these products should be taken responsibly. So once more, that's YoDelta.com, the official Delta 8 sponsor of the Gas Digital Network. If you use promo code GAS, you're just going to get 25% off. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So once more, promo code GAS, and you'll get 25% off. So that's YoDelta.com. YoDelta, home of the Delta 8 that will get you super high.
Now, back to the show.
So this is my contribution. I hope I didn't talk too fast for you. Rewind it, listen to it, take a few notes. When someone talks to you about abortion and they talk about the historical idea that abortion has not been legal in the United States, Matthew Hale is your guy. That's who they're citing. He's a fuck ass and he's wrong. Abortion has not been illegal in that sense. Okay. And then when someone tries to talk about a religious moral reason for there to not be abortion, ask them what verse they cite. They're probably going to cite one of the ones I just said. Explain to them that they cannot find a place in the Bible where abortion is directly mentioned, and then tell them that the Bible is the specific way you're supposed to live. It gives you all the rules, and if the rule isn't in there, it means that it's not fucking in there, okay?
Thank you so much. That's my contribution.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up Matthew Hale, because that was the part of the conversation that I wasn't able to get to, because I was reading a lot of like historical kind of accounts on Twitter and stuff about kind of like, and people were describing Matthew Hale, and I knew the marital rape part and stuff. And so I also just wanted to, this is just me, got me thinking about marital rape. And how recently that was legal in the United States, because I think it's, you know, good to think about like these things that have been legal for like 50 years. And we're just like going on living our lives like this is always going to be the way. But like, keep in mind, it was only 1993. It took until 1993 for marital rape to be a crime nationwide. And obviously, this is something that was going state by state. Nebraska, surprisingly enough, was the first state to outlaw marital rape in 1975. Like,
oh,
so
great.
Recent, guys. The court case Oregon versus Rideout in 1978 was the first in which someone stood trial for raping his spouse while they lived together. Still in the 1990s, most states continued to differentiate between the way marital rape and non-marital rape were viewed and treated. The laws have continued to change and evolve, with most states reforming their laws in the 21st century. But there are still states where marital rape and non-marital rape are treated quite differently under the law. So like, make no mistake, like this is all very important to know and to not just like sit pretty, because like these rights unfortunately could like always be taken away from us. Laws could always be changed, and it's really fucked up.
We're gonna go soon, but I wanted to bring up one more point that you might have to contend with if you are talking to someone who is anti-abortion. Many of them will be like, you're all acting like babies. You're protesting outside of Kavanaugh's house. You threw a Molotov cocktail through an anti-abortion clinic window, which did happen, and mm-hmm. I think that's fucking cool. But that's me personally. I know a lot of people are nonviolent, and I respect that, and it's probably whatever.
I mean, I don't think we should kill more people in the fight to, you know, for abortion. But like, I think women do need to get more physically active with our protesting.
Hey, unrelated to what you just said, and to be clear, I'm saying it's unrelated to what she just said about we shouldn't kill people. Unrelated to that, I would like to say politicians aren't people. That's unrelated. Two unrelated statements. You shouldn't kill people to further your goals. Unrelated to that,
I'm not signing off on this.
Anyway,
I do think that women need to, you know, enough with the poster board and glitter, guys. We need to like do something a little bit more.
So people will talk about how, oh, well, the leftist freaks out all the time, blah blah blah. Stop them. They are dumb. Maybe the left is going kind of crazy right now, and we should. I think that's good, personally. We all know where I stand. Shane's kind of an extremist. He's very far on the left, blah, blah, blah. But when people talk about that, you should cite the fact that 7 murders have occurred in the 1990s. At least 11 people have been killed that we know of in terrorist attacks against people who are pro-choice. Gynecologist David Gunn.
We went over all this
okay.
last week,
so,
but yeah.
Just all of that. There's a crazy amount. If you just go to anti-abortion violence on Wikipedia, please reference that. It's in order to prove to them that they're being insane. Many of these things have been bombed as recently as like, I mean, very recent. I don't know what the most recent one is. I think
in the
maybe 2000s, last year. Yeah,
it was really, really recent. Yeah, it's insane.
2015, there was a shooting. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. So the amount of violence against people who are pro-choice has been incredible. Many of it use, you know, very sophisticated weapons. This mm-hmm. is not just like people going out and being angry. This is people throwing, using timed bombs and explosives. Also, for everyone who's like outside of Justice Kavanaugh's house, this is crazy. What about every single young woman and or every person with a uterus ever who's had to walk through a picket line in order to get care? Mm-hmm. Sometimes not even abortions.
Right.
You know, you have to walk through this.
Many times not abortions.
Yeah.
That's not like the main, like most people are going to like Planned Parenthood to get birth control and shit.
Yeah. You're just, so the intimidation and just the ridiculous shit they have to deal with from these people. And then you're like, Justice Kavanaugh has to deal with people outside his house. I don't know what to tell you. We're Americans. We protest. The idea that you're harassing young women and you feel bad for some rich guy in his fucking rich guy house, I don't know. I don't care. So Yeah, that's all the stuff I have to say. I just thought I would give something that I thought was helpful for people who need to debate this kind of stuff. Yeah, I have used all of those two things to great effect on my family, who will no longer talk to me about this.
Man, I'm looking at the pictures from this pro-life attack. It's pretty funny. No one was hurt in it, though, were they?
No.
Because no one was there.
No one was hurt at all.
Yeah, because it was Mother's Day arson, so like it was a day. They did it on a day when I'm guessing the facilities were closed.
Yeah.
Well, good. I saw a lot of posts yesterday about like how from mothers, which I was really happy to see. Like, oh, I'm so thankful I got to decide when and if I wanted to be a mother, which was, you know, I'm not a mom, so I didn't want to make yesterday about me. But I'm like, I'm glad the mom spoke up.
Yeah.
I was like, good on you guys. All right. I think that's it for this week's episode. We obviously abortion is still kind of the main topic in the news. And yeah, that's
it. I mean, yeah, as it should be.
Yeah. Well, of course.
I think climate change should sneak in there a little bit. But yeah.
They're both imminent, but this is like imminent. Yeah. Like really like impending doom happening.
Hey, if you're a guy and you want to do something, I think maybe just being nice to someone. Just go be nice to a lady that you know.
I don't like this idea.
No, just be nice. What are you talking about?
Just don't talk to us. How about that?
Oh, my God. But I'm saying someone they know.
Okay, I guess.
Wow, Corinne is just so black-pilled.
Being nice to me is like not enough, honestly, at this point.
Being extra nice. Well, what do you want a guy to do? What do you want a regular guy to do?
Talk to one of his friends who's like anti-abortion or something.
Why do you think everyone has anti-abortion friends?
Even I have anti-abortion friends.
Yeah, but I mean, beyond that, that doesn't do anything for like the... I'm talking about something directly you can do that will help women right now.
I think donate money to help people get abortion access. Especially in states where it's really, really at risk, acting as someone to walk with people into Planned Parenthood, especially if you live in a place where there's a lot of protesters outside the abortion facility. It would be nice to see men there sometimes, like, you know.
Men do escorting. But some of those people murdered were escorts.
I'm saying, but yeah, it would be nice to see more men. It's not common to see men. I very rarely see men as escorts. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but it's certainly a lot more women than men.
Yeah, I mean, in Utah with the escorts were almost, I don't even, yeah, it was exclusively men. And like, I don't think I ever saw a woman go in without an escort. But when there were protesters.
Okay, I was like, I think maybe we've just lived two very different lives. So the type of men that live in Utah are a lot different than the type of men.
Yeah. The motorcycle clubs in New York, go New Jersey. To help the women. Yeah. They have like fundraisers and all the bikers go.
Sweet.
Anyway, I don't know. And who knows? My anecdote, again, I'm a man and my anecdotal experience is not everyone's. What the fuck do I know? I don't hang out at Planned Parenthood. I'm sure lots of women in Utah have had mortifying experiences, and I could be wrong. So
there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Where can we find you? Where do we need to go?
Oh, go to Virginia Beach, Pittsburgh. Three shows in different places in Michigan. ShaneSmithComedy.com. Also Chicago coming up. Yeah, that's it. ShaneSmithComedy.com. I'm so tired, but we'll have a good time.
Me too. And then for me, I'm not on the road right now, but listen to my other podcast, Guys We Fucked. It's free. It's available on Apple and Spotify and wherever every single Friday. We have a cool YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. Tons of free, funny content, including soon full episodes of the podcast and then also our comedy special, Our Special Day. You can also follow me on social media at Philanthropy Gal on Instagram, on Twitter. Those are the ones I'm on most. Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great week. You know, keep abortion legal because goddamn, gonna be embarrassing and horrific if this right gets taken away from us.
Brutal.
Bye, guys. Have
Love
a good week.
Love you. Bye.